Hey, you gotta believe it, church. Sing it to me. Say, sooner or later, sooner or later. How many of you know that God has a season for you? And in due season, you're going to get it. You're going to reap if you faint not. This is just an endurance test. God wants to see, well, are you worthy? Are you in this just because you want to treat me like a Santa Claus? Are you in this because you love me? God just wants people who love him. Because see what? He first loved us. Good morning, brothers and sisters of the Safe House Church. God is good and he's worthy to be praised. I'm just so grateful to have the opportunity to be able to be in front of you again on this morning. But God is good and he's still worthy to be praised, even if anything going the way I want it to go or not. We've all had our ups and downs in this year. Some of us had them this week. Some of us even had them this morning. But I'm here to tell you today that if you're still under the sound of my voice, that means that there's still hope. There's still opportunity to go forth. Good morning, all our visitors from all around the world, those who are on Zoom, those on Facebook, those on Periscope, those are on YouTube. God bless you all. I thank you. And we acknowledge your space here in the building. And when God see fit for us to go back to our building, oh, come on, somebody. I want to see your face there. Amen. Amen. I'm just so grateful. It ain't about the building because, well, I was telling you on last week that the church is about what? Being on one accord. So whether you're in your home or you're in the street, you're at work, we all working together on that one accord. Then when his spirit rushed in and blessed us. Amen. Amen. And for first time, welcome. This is the Safe House Church. My name is Dr. Peter Ely. I'm the pastor and founder of the Safe House Church, where I'm proclaiming that we are Greensboro's favorite pastor, not because we just want to be popular or anything, but because what they see the Spirit of God working through us. You're not looking at a perfect man. You're looking at a man who's very flawed, a man who got some issues, a man who got sometimes can have some anger situations. Sometimes you rub me wrong. I might get a little riled up, but you know, God is still working on me, just like he's working on you. Amen. And I know I'm held to a higher call. I'm held to a higher standard. That's part of being in the leadership. So that's why I tell people, I do not take this lightly. Amen. Yeah, amen. I do not take this lightly, but I'm just so grateful to be in this space that we are in. And Safe House Church, we work on three pillars of our faith. We believe God has called us to. We call it DEA. That's discipleship. We're going to teach you. We're going to work with you. We're going to guide you. We just don't throw folk away around here. You know, folk come and go. We understand that, but we're going to do our part. Then what? Empowerment. We be putting people in positions of power. This is what Jesus did. Jesus taught the disciples. He discipled them. Mm-hmm. And they learned. And when they learned that, then what did he do? He put them in power. He let them work. Amen. That's the other part that we had to get onto, brothers and sisters. A lot of us have not been doing a lot of work. God has blessed us and given us many talents, but we've not been doing a lot of work. And then the last piece is accountability. We are accountable for what we do and what we say. And we hold each other accountable. I am my brother's keeper. Amen. I am. And iron sharpens iron. So all these things are important. You know, I tell my members all the time, if you see me getting out of line, you know, I know that some people say, oh, nobody can correct the shepherd and this and that. No, if the shepherd going around, if y'all see me falling, I want y'all to call me. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to spend all my time helping you all get there and I miss the trip. Oh, come on, somebody. Because even our Bible tells us that it's going to be someone that day and say, Lord, I cast out devils in your name. And Lord, I did this and I did that. So I tell all our people, you know, if you walking in covenant with us, see, it's one thing you just coming off the street just saying something. But if we in relationship and you in relationship with me, I believe you have to, if you think I robbed my mom, you know, and if I accept it, if I reject it, I reject it. Amen. You know, like I say, we say get it off your chest. You know, that's a way to say things. You know, that's a way to say things. Me being a man in leadership, even on my job, I tell the folk that that I support, tell me, because I don't know. You don't tell me. Oh, come on, somebody. Maybe I've done something. Maybe I've said something that I did unintentionally. I need to know, and I want to get it right. Amen. So, but you know, one thing I don't apologize for is the word of God. If it's God's word, then you got to deal with it. That's him. But if it's something I've done in my character, help me out, because I want to make it happen. You're not doing this just for form or fashion. I don't do this for money or pay or nothing like that. But we do this to get better in this space. Also, if you see, I changed the background today. This month is Pastor Appreciation Month. So I was told that I needed to kind of put something up here. So Y'all know how I am by now. Everything we get pretty much just goes right back into this church or supporting this ministry on what God has given us. But if you feel led to do so, you know, y'all know how to contact me or get at me next week. I'll probably have a little something a little better. But it is Pastor Appreciation Month. And, you know, and at the same time, I am human. You know, I cry. I do. My feelings get hurt. They do. You know, my children get sick. You know, my mother-in-law, like I said, y'all keep my mother-in-law in prayer. She's been in the hospital 2 weeks, and she lives right here in this same house with me. And my mother-in-law lives with us. So it's been on board here with us. So it's been some struggle. But it didn't mean that I neglect the job that God has given me, which is to serve his people. You know, it's my family. My first ministry is my family. And you can best believe that's being taken care of. Then this next part of this he's given me is my extended family, which are you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. So you all continue to pray for her. But like I said, again, the whole month of October, Pastor Appreciation Month. So just remember that. If I'm not your pastor, remember your own pastors. And, you know, because people, I'm hearing some things, you know, and it's a tough space because none of us have ever passed through a pandemic. I don't care who they are. You know, they can be, you know, the T.D. Jakes's of the world, which is an extraordinary pastor, or they can be the P.D. Ely's of the world who got a little small church over here in Greensboro that God is just doing tremendous work through. But all of us are learning to navigate in this space. And I think the interesting thing is, it's like the way I'm teaching to you all right now, the way I'm talking to you all right now, most of them are doing the same exact thing. I don't care how many members they got. They are in this space. Amen. So God has a way of just leveling the playing field. I told y'all we can't worry about it because sooner or later it's going to work out in our favor. So the same reach that one of them have, I got right here. See how God works that thing out? You know, and that's not, you know, belittling anybody, but I just want you to see that God can work it out for you. So don't worry about it. So again, Pastor Appreciation Month, I'm going to get off of that. Amen. So I believe God has given me a tremendous word to share with you all this morning, this morning, brothers and sisters. I'm not going to belabor the point because I want to spend a little time with my family. Like I said, we've been going through some things. You know, and it's good just, you know, to get friends and get people and just connect. Amen. So if you would you pull out your Bibles? You know, you do have a Bible. It's important that you have a Bible. I know many of us have electronic, you know, and somebody told me that if it's electronic, it's not a Bible. It's an app. Okay, it is an app. But, you know, if you want to play on words like that, I get you. That's fine. You know, to each his own. But nonetheless, the scripture that you're going to read from, you know, you can have the paper Bible, because if we want to get technical, then what about the Dead Sea Scrolls? Are you rolling off scrolls? That's what they wrote it on. You know, most of the Bible is given verbally. But, hey, you know, I'm not counting that. We're going to at least talk about the canonized version, meaning the version that they put together in the book that King James authored. Authorized, I'm sorry. All right, so I want to go to 1 Kings today. 1 Kings 19 and 19. And as always, I'm going to give y'all the split screen. Yeah, I know I'm a teacher. You know, sometimes I preach, sometimes I teach this, however God sends it to me. Amen. Thank you, Brother Williams. So we're going to come on this morning. Let's get this split screen going on here. 1 Kings. We had 1 Kings 19 and 19. I'll give you a second to get it. That's Old Testament for you all. That's the first king book of that Bible. So, you know, you got 1 Kings and 2 Kings, but we're going to 1 Kings this morning. 1 Kings 19 and 19, where it reads as such. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? Then he goes on and says, and he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and bore their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Oh, I'm sorry, I had this logo over here. Make that disappear. Sorry about that. And they did eat. Then he arose, and he went after Elijah, and ministered unto if I would come to you this morning with a subject or a topic, I want to come, be found being productive. Be found being productive. Let me get off the split screen here for a second. Be found being productive. Let's pray real quick. Oh, Lord, and the Father, Lord Jesus, I come to you right now, Lord. I thank you for every person that's under the sound of my voice. Lord, I ask that this word, Lord, you would penetrate, Lord, you, that it be embedded in their souls and in their spirits, oh, God, not just to inspire, Lord Jesus, but for to invoke change, oh, God, be upon them, oh, God. Let them know, Lord Jesus, that you have a place, that you have a time, and that you have a season for them, Lord Jesus, to do the work which you've called them to do, Lord Jesus, to go forth how you have them to go forth. And Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, and we love you, Lord, and we thank you for this space. We ask you to all these things and others in the powerful name of Jesus. But we know this one thing, and we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. All right, good morning, brothers and sisters. So let's go ahead. Let's talk a little bit. So, like I was saying, let's talk from the point of view, be found being productive. You know, we're in a day and time now that a lot of people are busy, but they're not productive. Have you ever found yourself just being busy? You know, we used to call kids when I was teaching school. It's like the kids are always so busy. I mean, busy, like, you know, they fidgety. They got to do this. They got to do that. And they're doing all these things and they're spending all this energy, yet nothing is changing. Nothing is going forward. There's no production. Being productive is about an end product. The root word of productive is what? Product. So for you to be productive, which means you must produce a product. Now, God has called all of us to be productive. And you ask me, say, well, Pastor, what is my product? Your product is the other soul that you help manifest into the kingdom. It's the other person that you witness to. It's the person that you live the life before to show them, you know, I have some scars, but I'm still healed. That things don't always go the way that I want them to go, but you know what? I'm still hanging on in there. That my situation looks kind of bleak sometimes, and I'm not sure either, but you know what? I'm not going to give up. He asked us to be productive in this space. And what we find here is you have a young man in Elisha who is in a country town. Let's back it up a little bit here. We have Elisha and Elijah, and you know there's a mentor-mentee relationship or an apprentice relationship between the two. And Elijah is a mighty prophet of God, and he's done all these miracles. And him and Jezebel are having their fights and their battles. And if you read the scripture, the verse right before this in 1 Kings 19 and 18, you find that Elijah was having these talks with God about, you know, I'm the only one living holy. I'm the only one out here in this space. I'm the only one out here doing all this work by myself. And then God has to remind himself, boy, I got like 6,000 or 7,000 people who ain't even bowed to Baal that you don't even know about. And that's why I have to often remind other brothers and sisters that, yes, you know, we're going to heaven and we're trying to enjoy the trip. But there's other people that's going to be there, too. There's others who are living right that you don't know. There's others who are living right that I don't know. But what God knows. And that's all that matters. And since he knows where he has a plan for all of us to come together one day, and that's when we go to heaven. So here you have Elijah. He's in this space, and he's having a pity party, and God has to remind him, boy, don't have a pity party because I got other folk out here. So now he's at a point, it's like, okay, God, I know that my time is coming near to an end. I mean, my time is coming to an end. And since my time is coming to an end, it would not be good that I take all these things that you've given me, all these skills and all this stuff that I've learned and lessons and stuff, that I don't take these things and I pass them on to somebody else, that somebody else would take this, because the work does not stop with me. I tell you all the time, I've done a poor job if you can't leave here and go help somebody else. It's my job to prepare you to be able to go out and help somebody else. This is what this whole thing is about. It's not that you just sit in here and be under me. My job is to work me out of a job. My job is what? To create leaders. They go out and create other leaders. They go out and create other leaders. They go out and create other leaders. Leaders that begot leaders. Do you not know what the Bible said? We all produce after their kind. So leaders produce leaders and other leaders produce other leaders. But those leaders, what? There's some work involved in that. So now what? So now you find Elijah. Elijah's looking for somebody to work with. He's looking for somebody to pour in there. He's looking for somebody to bless. Do y'all not know sometimes, you know, you have those millionaires and people that, you know, they have all this money and they put certain restrictions on their money. Why? Because they looking for somebody specifically to bless with these, that has certain particular characteristics that they looking for to put their money into. Do you not know God is just looking for you? The Bible said he spends his time, what, looking the heavens to and fro who he wants to bless. And what he wants to find is he's looking for who's being productive with what they have. See, some of us are complaining about being productive and say, well, Lord, if I just had this, I could do this. Lord, if you would just take this thing that I struggle with and I could do this. And Lord, if you just do that for me, Lord, and if you just get my husband to act right, if you just get my wife to act right, Lord, if you get just them to act right on the job, Lord, if I get to just this certain amount of pay, Lord, that all these things, Lord, that I do. And God is clearly telling us, and he shows us here that you should be working with what you got and being productive in that space. Because if you're not producing, what good are you? See, the Bible tells us what? There was a fig tree, and Jesus said the fig tree was not producing fruit. What did Jesus do? He cursed the fig tree, and the fig tree died. Why? Because its sole purpose was to what? To grow and multiply and reproduce fruit. He was looking for it to be productive, and if it wasn't being productive, then therefore it was not useful. See, do you not know and realize that God just going to take us where we are and all he's going to do is elevate us? See, if you're not doing anything now, how do you expect to do something when your time comes? How do you expect to do something when God drops his spirit upon you? See, I'm reminded that when I started out as a really young preacher, that I was teaching Bible school just like this. Every single Sunday, sometimes I had one person. There was times I didn't have anybody. There were times I won't, you know, in there, they threw me in the back. Sometimes the heat was on, sometimes the heat won't on. And sometimes I was not happy about it, and I made it known that I wasn't happy about it. Whether that was right or wrong, but that was me and at the time and the space that I was in. But I see now that God now has me in pastorship, that what? That all those things that I was doing as a young minister, all those things that I was doing was just him massaging me. It seemed like at the time that they had me doing busy work. It seemed like at the time that, you know, they didn't see this and they didn't see that, but God knew all about it. He said, just work in there until I'm ready for you. Because there's a time and a season that God has ready for you. And what you need to be found being productive when he comes for you. You need to be found being productive. So let's go through this scripture and let's dissect it. So now that you have some background of what's going on. So you find when we first start out in 19, you find what? That he is walking down, basically down one of those roads. And as he's walking down this road, he found, the Bible said what? He found Elijah. He found him. Do you not know that your blessings will find you? Your blessings will find you. You got to do what? Just continue to work in this space. Continue to do what you're supposed to be doing and be fantastic at it. Be the absolute best at it. Do it so great that it just drives other people around you crazy. See, I have this theory of this thing that I do is that I would like to drive people crazy with greatness. If I'm working hard, I know it makes the other person look like they got to work hard, because if not, then they look bad in the space. I call that positive peer pressure. I call that positive reinforcement. So if everybody around you is living holy and you're not living holy, then everybody looking at you like, oh, what's wrong with her? Oh, what's wrong with him? Why? Because the rest of us have decided that we're going to live holy. The rest of us decide that we're going to bless God. The rest of us decide that, you know, we're going to pay our tithes and offering. We're going to support the ministry. We're going to do everything we can. Know that we're not perfect. No, we ain't got it all together, but we're working in the space. See, God didn't call us for perfection. He called us to have faith. Perfection is something that he does along the way. Are y'all with me this morning? Perfection is something that he gives us along the way. We earn it along the way. It just didn't fall on you. You have to earn the right. As my father used to tell me, son, sometimes you can be saying the right thing and be absolutely right, but you have to earn the right to be heard. Sometimes that means going through some things. And what we're going to find is that Elisha asked Elijah later on, say, I want to do double what God has did for you. I want double your anointing. And what he tells him, he said, boy, what you ask is a very hard thing. But if you see me go up in the clouds, meaning that if you follow with me, if you train with me, if you walk with me, that when my time comes, you're going to get that and then some. There's a price to be paid for greatness. There's a price. It just didn't fall upon you. There's some work that has to be done. Are you willing to do the work? So now as we go here and watch here in the script, watch this. When God gave me this morning, last night, I was like, oh my God, I never seen it like this. So he said, Elisha, the son of Zarephath, who was plowing. So what was he doing? He was working with 12 yoke of oxen. Watch this. 12 yoke of oxen. Now, when we think about it in the Bible, when we look throughout the Bible, 12 means what? Completion. He was already completely good at what he was doing. He was already complete at this job. In fact, the 12 heel stands for what? Mastery. For him to be able to control 12 oxen at one time means that he has mastered that space. God would send what you need when you've mastered the space. Someone will ask the Lord, why am I still stuck here? Let me tell you why. You have not mastered the space. You have not mastered that level. You have not mastered that situation. Until you've mastered that situation, what good is it to take you to the next level to fail and embarrass him and yourself? And I know we serve a God who would not be embarrassed. So therefore, if you're not ready, you will not be promoted. Are y'all with me? Oh, come on, somebody. So 12 oxen, completion. Then what do we know about oxen? I did a little research. You know, what is really an ox? An ox is nothing but a cattle. It's a cow. It's a steer. Like in Texas with the longhorn, the steers. It's nothing special. But what they did do to the oxen is they castrated him. So it was a male, and they castrated him. By castrating him, removing the testicles off him, what it does is what it decreases the hormone production, because the hormones for males, as true as I and every other male you meet, our hormones are what produced there, which makes us male, which gives us facial hair, which gives us the deepness in our voice, which gives us, you know, the more bulkiness in our bodies. Are y'all with me? So they would castrate him. By castrating him, what do? They take away the oxen's power. So now the oxen is what? In a position to be trained. See, what God is doing with some of us, he's waiting for you to get to the point and say, Lord, I give up that which makes me. See, what makes that oxen an oxen is now he's been castrated. Other than that, he was just a wild animal doing whatever he wanted to do. As we say, a bull in a china shop. That's what he was. He'll run around, just be kicking stuff, knocking stuff over, no training, messing people up, saying what he want to say, doing what he want to do. Just a spirit of wildness all over the place. But being castrated says, look, I'm giving this up to be trained by you. So now what? He's not only training one, but he's what? Trained 12 oxen to work in this space. So now that what they've been castrated, they're not working off, those oxen are not working off their own internal. They listen to who? They listen to their trainer. They listen to their master. Do you not know that God is the same way with us, that he just wants us to what? To rely on him. He wants us what? It ain't no power I got. I want to be able to bless you. I want to be able to give you every single thing that you need. I just want you to be able to rely on me. This is what this oxen represents. And now the Bible's saying here that he's what? Mastered that space. 12 yoke of oxen. And what does it say? It says, and before him and with the 12. Meaning that what? That he worked with them. There was partnership. See, these oxen allowed themselves to be trained. You have to allow yourself to be trained. It's not a thing because what? Your flesh. Remember, these oxen were not born oxen. They were made oxen. You and I are not born believers. We're made believers. By what? By us making a decision to say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Lord, not my thoughts, but your thoughts reign victory in my life. And therefore, what? It's a constant and everyday decision. It's very intentional. That's what we're singing this morning. Y'all think these songs, and it's not the songs we just picked just by arbitrarily. Because what? I want to be intentional in this space to remind you that God has a plan. So you and I, what? When we was born, what? We was born into sin. So what? We had to be what? Trained. We had that sin mind state had to be what? Removed, castrated from us. Oh, come on, somebody. Y'all with me this morning. I feel like I'm preaching to the wall. Somebody say amen or something. Or maybe y'all just getting it so good, because I know we got a thinking church that you're just writing down all these amazing notes. Amen? Amen. All right, so we find ourselves My Bible's keep going off here. We find ourselves what in this space that now what? We are born into sin. So what? We have to make a decision. That sin may have to be removed. It's castrated from us. Mm-hmm. So now what? Now we what? We rely on him for our teaching and our training and where we are to work in this space. Do y'all see where I'm going with this? Do y'all see the deepness in this part here? And then the Bible says this. Now this is the part that really messed me up. And then it says, now remember, he's working with the oxen and the oxen is working with him. Amen? Right? So what I'm here to tell you today, you have to work with them and they have to work with you. Don't be unworkable in the space. We have some people who are just, as the Bible, well, you know, the Bible don't say this, but you know, you've heard people say that you're so heavenly minded that you know earthly good. Nobody wants to work with anybody like that. Some of you, you know, people don't want to work around because you walking around the church, the work, you're throwing anointing oil all over the place and you bucking and hollering and all this stuff. He said, in business, be men. That's a time and place for that. I don't go and work speaking in tongues and all this stuff. If I need to, I got a space I can do that. Learn to be in partnership. People will work with you. Can they see greatness on your life? But they're not sure, you know, whether, you know, they need an exorcism before they come to you. Oh, come on, somebody. We don't want folks scared of us, but we do want them to respect the God that's in us. I work with all kinds of people. I know you work with all kinds of people. So that's the difference between being fearful and being a respect or a reverence for what God is doing in your life. And, you know, and I found out as I came up as a young man that God, you know, always had that on my life because what? People wouldn't let me do certain things, even when I wanted to do dumb stuff. No, you can't do that. Oh, you can't go to this party. Oh, you shouldn't be over there. And I'm mad because I want to go in there because I want to be part of the crowd. But now I see that was God's protection. Because they saw God's light, I mean, God's favor on my life that I'd be doing what I'm doing right now. So I didn't make some of those dumb decisions or got into some silly stuff that I wouldn't be credible in the space that I'm in right now. See how it works? Oh, what? It's intentional. It all works together for your good. You see how that? I know I ain't the only one that's been in that space. How do y'all know God just has some people just keep you from doing dumb stuff? I know I'm not the only little saved boy that was trying to get into the parties and go to the clubs and all this stuff because I wanted to experience all that. And I got to a certain level. Then I realized there was nothing there. There's a bunch of empty people looking for somebody to be filled and using their flesh to do so. When I had the answer the entire time, yet I'm looking everywhere else. It's like Dorothy with the Snickers shoes, right? There's no place like home. I could always darn home. I just didn't realize I had the power to. And you don't either. All right. So then he goes on and he says this. So now he's working with these beasts. These beasts are what? Like I told you, they've been trained. They've been trained as a, you know, and these beasts get trained at maturity. Watch this. They just don't make anybody an oxen. You have to be mature. And on average, they say you train them for 4 years. So if you're in that space, you just don't jump out there and just do whatever you want to do. You got to be educated. Oh, come on, somebody. Some people just don't believe they got to do anything. No, there is what? There is a trajectory for you to get where you want to get. Can't avoid the process. Respect the process. Go through the process. And the faster you do that, then you'll get closer to where you want to be. Now, this is the part that messed me up. Like I said, they were in relationship and all this stuff. He was working with animals. So he's there doing his job. And the Bible says this. And Elijah. Now, here's the man of God. Who's looking for somebody? The Bible said Elijah passed by him. Let me read it again. Listen what it's saying. I never caught this part before. Elijah passed by him. You know what this means? Elijah overlooked him. Elijah did not see Elisha in the space. Elisha's out there working. He's mastered this job. He got 12 yoke of oxen. He's out there plowing his mom and dad field. He's out there making it happen. He's out there doing his best life in the space that he's in. I can almost imagine if it was Martin Day, he's out there with his iPod on and he's rocking to some praise and worship music and he's doing his own little thing. And you know what I'm saying? He's out there in the field and he's tilling it up and he's just having a good old time. And the man of God walks right by him. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, we get overlooked. And that's just the truth of the matter. It's a fact. We get overlooked. But watch this. We get overlooked. Some of you sitting in there in this space said, why ain't I done this? It seems like they just keep overlooking me. It seems like they just keep passing me by. But watch this. He was overlooked. Elijah passed by. They didn't say he stopped. He passed by him. And then what's the next part? Comma. And it says, and cast his mantle upon him. Y'all know I'm a fisherman. And when you throw your rod in the water, we call it casting, which means I threw it. So what Elijah does here, mantle. Mantle meaning two things here. Mantle meaning like a cloak or a cup, a coat. But mantle also is what? His training. Oh, come on, somebody. His teaching. Oh, his job, his career opportunity. So he takes that mantle and he throws it at him. Why? Because he's went past him and he realizes, hey, something's different. I look at this like this. So, you know, one thing, you know, I know I fish. And the things about your fish finders, you know, people think that you can use a fish finder and say, oh, there's a fish right here. And you just start fishing right here. It doesn't work like that. A fish finder only gives you information. And check this. Watch this. Only thing current a fish finder will give you is depth, the depth of your water and the temperature. All the little things that when you they say you can see fish, those fish are in the past, in the history. Because your depth finder under your fishing boat is it reads backwards. Oh, come on, somebody. It reads backwards. So it gives you the information that say, okay, if you go back over that location again, you need to mark that so you know that next time you come here, that there's fish already right there. Are y'all with me? So it works in reverse. So here we see Elijah. Elijah, so I can imagine if you will, Elijah walks past him. Mm-hmm. And he hears the Spirit of God talk to him. Oh, you just went by. There's the fish over there. And Elijah sees it and he takes his cloak off and he cast it at him. He threw it at him. I'm here to tell you today when it's your turn that they will throw themselves at you. Woo! That's a word right there for somebody. They would throw, the opportunity would literally throw itself at you. And so the sense that what you'll get to ask for what you want. You'll get to make demands for what you want. You can be very specific about what you need. And what you'll get exactly what you want. Why? Because they're casting. They're coming after you and you not after it. Oh my God. That right there had to bless somebody. He walked by. And he cast him. He had to throw it at him because he had already went by him. He had to throw it at him. He cast it at him. Mm-hmm. And as he cast it at him, then he put his mantle upon him. And then watch what happens. What happens next? Then the Bible says what? And then, this is now Elisha. He left the oxen and he ran after Elijah. Why? Because he realized this was opportunity. This is what I've been waiting for. I've been mastering this space. I've been working. I've been praying. I've been seeking. I've been fasting. I've been saying, Lord, when is it going to come? And now I know. I'm here to tell you today, brothers and sisters, you will know when the opportunity comes. It's not going to be no question about it. And God is going to move quickly. It's going to be just like that. You can be like, man, I've been waiting. And then it's going to be like, bam, it's going to happen so fast. You're going to almost blow your mind. It's going to happen so fast. You'll be like, Lord, is this really what you wanted me to do? Because, Lord, I didn't get to think about it like I normally would. I didn't get to ponder about it for months and weeks at a time. Lord, it's just happening all so fast. Is this it? Mm-hmm. And I'm here to tell you, I'm giving confirmation to somebody. That's how you know, because it's going to be like this. And it's going to cast at you. It's going to find you. Somebody's going to pick up the phone and be like, hey, bro, I've been thinking about you, man. I need you over here. Hey, come look at this space. It's going to find you. The Bible said your blessings will run you down and find you. So now what? Elisha realizes this. And he does what? He runs after the opportunity. He runs after Elijah. And the Bible says this. And he said, let me go pray and pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and follow thee again, blah, 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 blah. Right? So what is he saying? Hey, let me go get my stuff ready. Let me make sure I set my house in order. Because when you go, you always leave in order. You know, and I left my last church when God told us it was time for us to go and walk out that season. You know, I just didn't walk out the building. You know, there were some things I wasn't happy with. There's always some things, but God is still a God of order, and it's still a thing of respect. And for you to get respect, you must give it first. So, you know, I went and we talked and said, you know, this is what I believe God is doing and that, and we were released. It's always about order. So he goes back and he talks to his parents and say, hey, look, this is what I'm doing. I believe this is it. And I'm gone. So what does he do? Before he leaves, though, watch this. Before he leaves, he blesses the people. Watch this. With what he had. Now, remember, you got to think about it. Now you got a community who probably wants to see him go and do great. You got a community that wants to see him be good. You got a community that wants him to have his best life. That's what we want for most people, right? All of us want that. You know, I want somebody to have the best of the best that they can go forward. However, when that person leaves, when that situation changes, it does leave a void possibly for those behind. That's why people don't want to see you go. It's not that they don't want to see you prosper. It's not that they don't want to see you go to the next level. They're self-serving to a certain degree because now they're worried about them. Well, what if he leaves us? Or what if she leaves us? Who are we going to get to do the job? Who are we going to get to replace this? Who are we going to get that has that skill set? Who are we going to get that's going to be good enough to meet us where we are? Am I helping somebody today? If this is good, y'all hit the share button out there. Let some other people know that God is speaking right now through me. So then he says, so the Bible said, then he went back, and what did he do? He went back, he kissed his mom, and then the Bible said, in verse 21, he said, and he returned back to him and took the yoke of oxen. So the yoke of oxen, those 12 oxen that he's now trained, he's put time in, he's put effort in. What he had, not only did he sacrifice it, the Bible said he slew it, slew them, bore their flesh with the instruments. So he killed them, killed him being the sacrifice. Now you think about it, these yoke of oxen, so he's all out. So when God takes you to the next level, there's no return. Look here. There's no return. So be prepared. You've been asking, and now he's taking. You're not, I'm telling you today, and I speak to you prophetically through the word of God, that once you go, you're not coming back. You're not coming back. You're not coming back. So set things in order because you're not going back. And he sends them there. And why does he not go back? Because he makes it to the point that this is sink or swim, baby. So he burns the oxen. He cooks the oxen. He cooks all 12 of them, the yoke of the oxen. Mm-hmm. He cooks them all. Remember, oxen, oxen. Oxen is plural for ox. So he cooks them all. The Bible says slew them. He boiled their flesh. Why you boil the flesh? So it separates. So now those flesh can be used to do other things like leather and tanning and all this stuff. And no, watch this. And then the Bible says he took the instruments. What are the instruments? The instruments are the things that he was plowing with, the things that he used to work. He did it completely. I'm here to tell you today, when you close that door completely. See, some of you, you know, he's like in the back of your mind when God pulls you, be like, well, Lord, what if they want me? Or they, you know, you kind of leave like a little brick in the door. Close the door completely. Burn the instruments. You burn the instruments. Because see, what we find here, when he burned the instrument, what are the instruments? Instruments are, and you know, some, you know, we have musical instruments, but do y'all not know that instruments are a gauge? Think about it on your car. You have a speedometer. You have the gas and all these other things, oil and pressure and all this stuff. Those are what call your instrument panel. It's a gauge. It's a gauge. It's how you gauge how good you were doing. See, our instruments, see, on this particular level, when you're driving a small car that has a small tank, you can look at the gas, and the gas gauge is set. Woo, I'm about to mess y'all body up. Listen, the gas gauge is set to what? To that small car. Let's say a Ford Fiesta or a Ford Focus. It's a small car. So the gas gauge is set to that 8 or 9, 10 gallons that that car was set. Now, what you can do, but will not work for you, is you can take that gas gauge off that Ford Focus and put it on a Chevy Tahoe. It will work. Watch this. But it will not give you an accurate reading. Come on, somebody. It will work, but it will not give you an accurate reading. Why? Because the gauge or the instrument is not set for that vehicle. You driving a car that's twice as big, and you're worried about something twice as small. So while you in that space and you worried about that little bit, don't let little get you. Because God has called you to large. And you want to take that little instrument and put it on this nice big car that God is now giving you. And now you saying that I'm on full when you really almost half empty. Come on, somebody. Oh, thank her. Speak, Holy Ghost. See, some of you want to go to the next level, but you want to carry your old instruments with you. And he said, burn them up. Because they don't work where I want to take you. You can't be worried about what they say where I want to take you. You can't be looking at what they say. So stop comparing yourself to your brothers and sisters because you're driving something bigger. And they driving their Yugo and you let and they okay with that. So let them be okay with mediocrity. But for me and my house, I don't serve mediocrity. I don't serve it. And the safe house would not serve it because God has not called us to mediocrity, but he called us to what? An excellent, a more excellent. God does things excellent. He does things in order. He does them great. He does them in perfection. Are you with me this morning? So when we're working in mediocrity, what I find is that's us. And we're stuck still plowing the oxen when he's telling us, look, boy, get out the field because I'm taking you to the White House. Get out the field because I'm giving you this mantle because I need you to wear the White House clothes. It doesn't mean you from the White House because I know what I put inside of you, but you got to wear the uniform to get in the door. Woo! I'm going to protect you from the coronavirus. If you get it, it's because I allow you to have it, but you still wear the mask. Why? Because it's the uniform of the day. And it allows you to get in the door so you can be heard in the space. Because I don't care how great you are, you cannot get past the door, man. You cannot pour into others. You can't pour into people. You cannot allow God's light to shine in you. So that's why I had to go get educated. That's why I had to get a PhD, because I can talk the talk and I can walk the walk. Because they see me as one of them, but I know that I'm under cloak and dagger, that inside of me lives the God of God. Inside of me is his Holy Ghost burning down inside of me. Inside of me is what? Righteousness. Inside of me is his glory. So when I get into the space, I Trojan horse the situation. Oh, come on, somebody. Y'all know your Greek mythology. The Trojan horse, what do? They give the horses a gift because they couldn't penetrate their walls. God is strategic, y'all. So he gives the horses, what, a gift. Oh, have this nice horse. And what do? The soldiers are inside of the horse because they knew they could take them if they could just get inside of the wall. I'm here to tell you today, brothers and sisters, some of you are going to that next level. Why? Because God needs you inside of the walls. So don't be mad with them. They are where they are. Turn it off. Respect them. Respect the space. Respect who they are. Be nice to people. But they're not going where you're going. So I get it. So they call me bougie because I moved to this neighborhood. But there's some people here that I'm going to reach that you're not going to reach because this is who I called to. So they called you this because you decided that you didn't want to do that or you didn't want to do that. No, baby, it's the space that you've been called to. And be okay with that. Sometimes it's going to be a lonely walk. But God said, I'll be with you. And my rod and my staff is there to comfort you. Because what does he do? He gives you a new instrument. When David pens this song, he said, what? That rod and staff is there to comfort me. What does he do? He gives him a new instrument that meets that level. So when he tells Elijah, what? Burn up the instruments. Burn up the oxen. Bless the people with what you had. So what does he do? Before he leaves, he blesses them. He feeds them. He takes care of them. And say, okay, you know, at this point, I got to go. So then the Bible says, what does he do? Then he what? He arose and what? He chased the opportunity. He chased Elijah. And notice this, the last three words of this passage. It says, and, meaning more, ministered unto him. Then he arose and he went after Elijah and he ministered unto him. Did he go to Elijah and go preach? No. How are you going to preach to somebody at a level you just got to? Some of the best advice I ever got, I got from one of my former deans. He told me, he said, Elon, when you get to a new space, you usually just shut up. And he said, for two reasons. They don't know if you know everything, and they don't know if you don't know anything. I give y'all that one for free. Thank you, Dr. Ford gave me that one. He said, they don't know if you know anything, or they don't know if you know everything. They don't know. So when you get to the space, until you get a feel for the land, until you understand some things, until you've earned the right to be heard, you shut up. Until you got in a position that they ask for your opinion, you be quiet. It's not that I'm being sadistic. No, I'm trying to understand the atmosphere. I'm trying to understand where I'm at. I'm trying to get a lay for the land. Why? So that when the Spirit ministers to me and said, this is the opportunity, this is the time, then I will speak. Then I will say my peace. Then I will go. Then I will do. And this is where God has us, brothers and sisters. So what is he doing? He wants to find you being productive. Because see, Elisha mastered that space. He had completeness. He had 12 oxen. He was tearing the grounds up. He was doing that. And when the man of God walked by, Spirit dropped on him, said something to him. He didn't even turn around. What does he do? The Bible says he didn't go back. I always find it. Why did he not just go back and do it? They said he threw it. The opportunity was threw at him. He caught it. He accepted it. He acknowledged it. He saw it for what it was and knew immediately, I'm not coming back to this space. Why? Because I'm throwing everything at this new effort. I'm throwing everything at this so that, you know, I won't go back. You know, some people say, you know, like I said, they always leave that door open. No, it's do or die, or as we say, do or bust or whatever. It ain't no going back. Do you see what I'm saying? So now he goes on, and then he goes on, and now he goes and he sets his people up. He didn't leave his people high and dry. Don't leave people high and dry. Make sure you do things right. Make sure you leave things right. It speaks to your character, which none of us can buy. The Bible said, well, a good name is better than all these riches. So do people right when you leave the space. Do things right. I don't care if you didn't go the way you want to go or if they did you wrong, but you always want to leave things right. Mm-hmm. So then, what does he go? Then he says, after he does all this, then what? He realized it's time for him to go, and he went under the opportunity. And to minister here means to serve. He ministered unto Elijah. So what did he do? He served Elijah. And while he was serving Elijah, he learned some things. He saw some things. He saw how Elijah operated in a space full of vultures. He understood how Elijah dealt with people who didn't like him. He understood, not that Elijah was perfect. Remember, Elijah, just the same man that was over here crying to the Lord, about to commit. Remember, Elijah, if you go back and read, Elijah was a nutcase. Elijah was borderline schizophrenia. Yes. Go look, he's under the Jupiter tree. Go back and read when Jezebel had already put out the decree to come kill him and they was going after him. He was over there about to commit suicide. He was a nutcase. So when I read his story, it gives me hope, y'all. It gives me hope. If God can use a nut like Elijah, he could definitely use me, I like to think. So I read the Bible. I see hope that God has brought all these men. And he did these things for them. And I don't know when, I don't know where. So what I'm supposed to do, I'm supposed to be productive where I am and do the work where I am and be great to people where I am. And you know what? The opportunity is going to throw itself at me. I never forget how I got to the triad. I came here. Actually how I got to my last job. I was working at a university here in Winston-Salem. And I was enjoying it. I love working. I had a great time at Winston-Salem State University. I love the people. I love the area. I made friends. Our first child. No, we hadn't had no kids yet. It was just my wife and I. And we just having a great time in that space. And one day, my boss calls me in the office and he tells me, Peter, it's time for you to go. I'm thinking, oh my God, am I about to get fired? What's going on? I'm like, did I mess up or nothing? He was like, no. He said, you about to finish this doctorate degree. And this is, he didn't say it was beneath me, but he meant that it was time for me to do more. I was wasting my talents there. Now, mind you, I had mastered that. Why? Because I could do that job with my eyes closed. I had to almost get out of bed to do that job. Because I had gotten to the point, I had been there 5 years. I mastered that space. I knew exactly what to do. I knew what to say, when to do it, how to go get the kids to come, and how to work with the parents, and all these kind of things. I didn't have to work very hard. So what was happening to me, and unbeknownst to me, was that my skill set was starting to be diminished. because I was not exercising all that God had given me. Because I got to a place that I was comfortable. Do you not know comfortable is the enemy of progress? I can't remember. I think Frederick Douglass says that maybe. We know it's without no struggle, no progress. But also being comfortable. I know some of you, we like comfort. I like comfort. I like a good comfort chair. I like comfort. I like comfort food more than I probably should have. But God has not called us to comfort. He called us to production. And that's work. So I'm sitting in space and, you know, he's like, no, I think you should go. And he tells me of a job opportunity. Now, how many people have their boss walk up to them and ask them to apply for another job somewhere else and not be in trouble? So I'm blessed. These are the kind of people God has surrounded me with my entire life. And I'm just grateful for that. Tells me to apply. And I'm like, no, no, I'm not going to apply. You know, and I'm sitting there because I'm happy where I'm at. I'm like 5 minutes from work. I'm, you know, playing golf on the weekend. We was at our church at the time that God had us in. We were serving there. Wife and I, she was happy. I was happy. You know, we didn't have any children. Life was good. You know, I didn't make a ton of money, but we managed. And life was good. All our bills were paid, so we were good. And what happens is my wife and I never forget, we're sitting in the bed, and I'm closing after I get through my story. And my phone ring, and it was a number, an area code of a number that I was familiar with because my little brother lives in the area. And I thought it was maybe my brother calling from somebody's phone, maybe something was wrong. So, and it was on a Saturday, and it was a Saturday morning. That's what kind of threw me off. And I answered the phone, and this person said, this is such and such from Fayetteville State. I'm like, Fayetteville? Saturday morning, why are you calling me? Yeah, I was calling you because I think you should. We have an opportunity down here, and we was talking to some people, and they recommended you, and we think you could be awesome for this space, and we really would like for you to apply. Now, notice here, I could have just said no at the end, and it would have been over right there. But at that point, they had came to me. But remember, I just got through saying that the opportunity is what? That they cast the mantle on him. The mantle was cast to me. Now I have an opportunity. I can say yes or no. Elijah could say yes or no. And what did Elijah do? The Bible said, what did he do? He ran and he told his, he said, oh, let me go tell my folk what's up. I just don't want them to be left in the dark. You know, so at this time, I tell my wife, hey, baby, they want me to apply. She looked at me and was like, well, I guess let's apply. Let's see what happens. And I applied. And so, you know, you still have to do your part. You see? So what did Elijah do? Elijah went and, Elisha did what? He went and found Elijah. He found him. You still have to do your part. You know, the opportunity can come, but you have to accept. It's just like the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost comes, but if you don't accept it, the Holy Ghost is not going to force itself on you. So I go in and I apply. You know, and I'm thinking, man, this is a good little ways away and this and that. The interview was great. I mean, the space felt good. And everything felt so good about it. It was like boom, 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 boom. And then before I got home, they called me and made me an offer. Offered me almost $25,000 more than I was making with, watch this, with less work. I'm telling y'all, he'll do it when you master the space. So be productive in the space. So now I was here, I was working every day. I was a what they call a 12-month employee, and I'm going from 12 now to 9 months with almost a 35% increase, and I only got to work 9 months. Y'all know we started thinking about that thing. So that means I can give up my side hustle? Mm-hmm. Does that mean I can do that? No, I didn't know me. I didn't do that, you know, because that's just what I am. You know, I have things, you know, goals that we want. But I can do all this stuff and not have to worry about this now. And I knew we wanted to have children soon. So now this puts me in a position that it'll be a little bit more comfortable or a little bit more manageable for us to say, okay, let's have a baby. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm sharing my testimony because it's mine. Because I know this can bless somebody else. Because some of you may be on the cusp of that. Or some of you are on the cusp of giving up. And I want to remind you that God's done it for me, that he definitely can do it for you. And if you got to go, I get it. But watch this. I want you to get all of this story because it's going to bless somebody because there's even more at that. So not only am I getting, you know, more money and all these kind of things that, you know, we do care about and we need. Now I'm in this space. And watch this. Now I was like, well, if y'all want me to come down there, you know, I live in Winston-Salem. It's a 2-hour drive. I said, y'all need to make my schedule where, watch this now, I told you, when they come for you, you can ask for what you want. I said, I won't. And now the salary they offered me, it blew my mind so much anyway. And I knew I was making a lot more than people who was currently already doing this job. I didn't even ask for no more money. I forgot about that part. I really did. I was looking at, okay, how can I make this work? I said, well, look, if you can make my schedules where I can come down 2 times a week, I think I can make this work, and we'll see what happens. Y'all, do y'all not know, for the first almost 6 years I worked down there, they had made my schedule where I can work 2 times a week? I might be telling too much. But I want to bless somebody in this space. Because God is good. You know, all them years of tithing and all this stuff. God, you would weep if you sow. Now, I know some of you like, well, I'm just doing this, I'm doing that. I don't know what they're doing with it. I'm going to tell you right now, Safe House ain't doing nothing with it, but putting it in the bank and paying for this equipment you're looking at me on. That's why I look so good. Thank you, church. But now I'm doing this. And then what happens? So now I'm working 2 days a week. I got a bigger salary. I got summers off. Mind you, I was working every single day. So now I got all this extra time to do other things and other things that I want to do. Why? Because they want my skill set. Because I was excellent in the space. So watch this. So when I got there, I was even more, is there such thing, more excellent in the space. Because now I had what? More time to focus. See, when God gives you more time, he didn't give you time for you. I did my share of maybe playing a little golf and all this stuff. But it was for me to be able to focus so I could be even what? More productive. And when I got into space, I was even more productive. So what happened is I hit the ground running. And because I was being so productive, and this is nothing, I'm not sticking on Peter, because this is God now. I was so productive in the space that they didn't bother me. They let me pretty much do whatever I want to do. Why? Because I had a reputation that I was going to get the work done. Not only was I going to get the work done, I was going to get it done well. And because of that, more raises came. More prestige came. I won Teacher of the Year. I won Professor of the Year. Just this past year, y'all know, I won Professor of the Year for the entire system. The entire system. Here I am, look, Christian boy, man of God. They wrote me a check for, it's public. Now, they gave me a check for $13,000 for being a great teacher. And that's because of God's protection and space. And what God had to instill in me, he's like, Peter, you went to school and you learned all this stuff. Why ain't you using this for the kingdom? So you see the same enthusiasm y'all see that I preach with, the same enthusiasm that I teach you all with? This is nothing new for me. This is Peter Ely's class at Fayetteville State right now. I yell, I scream, I'm animated. But that's who I am. So God has made me this, and I've learned to embrace it. And you know what? Some people, I'm an acquired taste, and I get that. Some people do not like it. Some people don't like it, and I get it, and that's fine. It ain't going to change what I'm called to do. I'm going to be nice, and I'm going to talk to them, and I'm going to do this, but we're going to go on. Do you see what I'm saying? So I know some of you worry about, well, this person's not going to like me. This person ain't going to get it. Don't worry about it. Those who get it, woo, this is advice I got from one of my brothers here. Said, if some people don't get it, it's not meant for them to get it if they don't get it. You go on and you do what God has called you to do. And those he's called to meet you in that space, they will get it and they will follow you. Because sometimes I look at it, it's like, I don't think nobody wants to follow me. Ain't nobody going to do this. Ain't nobody. And here I am. I'm proclaiming these things where God ain't say so. He said, I called you to the space. You just got to learn some things and shut your mouth and stop damning me before I lift you up. So God has called me to that space. And now I've been in that space 11 years. And you know what, you all? It has been a wonderful space. God has been really good to me down there. Really good to me. You know, my eyes looking wonder like everybody else. Yeah, wonder about the next space. Wonder about this and that. But what I'm learning is, and God dropped this on me, and like I said, I might have been preaching more to myself today than anybody else, is that until you completely master the space, he doesn't need you to go to the next level. So that means I must still have some work to do. That means you must still have some work to do. And then what you're going to find, they're going to look for you. And when they find you, you'll be able to declare and get exactly what you want. Because God is intentional. So much so, and many of you all know, my father-in-law has been dead now, what, like 11, almost 12 years. Yeah, 11 years. Now check this out. And this is it, and I'm going to get off. I'm longer than I wanted to be. My father-in-law died 11 years ago. remind you, remember I told you all that when I went down there, they made me, favorite state, they made me an offer. I talked to my wife and we decided, okay, we're gonna sign, I'm gonna sign this contract, I'm gonna take this job. You know, and everybody's happy, you know, my mother-in-law here, my father-in-law here, and you know, we all happy because at that particular time, I had every intention of moving to Fayetteville. My wife and I, because it was just me and her, we had no kids. Her mom and dad were doing great. The next week, God called her father home. My wife's the only child. You know, her mother, you know, they only had her. And you know, her dad, you know, her mom, you know, and father, you know, everything was fine. And you know, and we get a call and he passed away unexpectedly. We did not see that coming. I did not see that coming. My life changed dramatically. My plans changed dramatically. But y'all know, even in all that, God had a plan. Because then what I found out now is that he allowed me to make more money so I could be able to take care of other things. Because now I'm the only man in the family. Now my son is here. But I was the only man in the family. So now that mantle of his mantle and responsibility fell on me. Because when you marry somebody, the truth of the matter is you marry all of their family too. They don't tell you that part, but I'm telling you that for free. And you marry their good things and you marry their bad things. Just like they marry your good things and your bad things, because we all have them. So now, God allowed, so now I see God needed me to move because he knew he was about to call George home and he needed me to be in a place that I could take care of both households we needed to and make sure that mom had what she needed to have and all this kind of stuff. Do y'all see what I'm saying? He's intentional. I'm telling you all, trust him. Last piece, and I cloud got to let you go, but I'm feeling good. But even my current home, some of you know that we was displaced for like a year, almost a year. We found this place and we built this home. And I built this home. My wife and I built this home with the intention that mom might need to stay with us one day. She may need to stay with us one day. So let's prepare ourselves for that because, you know, she only got you and I get that. So it's kind of get close. You know, we had our second baby by then and we sold out and we made the decision to buy a new home and we was building this home and it was going to take a while. Our house sold right away. So got that fear that I had, you know, the devil puts all kinds of stuff in your head. Oh, you're going to get this, you're going to get that. We got exactly what we needed and more. Sold a home. Now we displaced. Mom said, come live with us. Great decision in hindsight. You know, I would think, oh, man, we're going to be crowded, this and that. But that allowed me to be able to save. Oh, come on, somebody. You got to take the wins when God gives them to you. So that allowed us to save. We could have got an apartment. But I was able to save everything in that space. So now when we moved into our new home, we didn't have to wait to go buy furniture. We didn't have to wait to go do this. We didn't have to go nickel and dime. We just go out there and get whatever we decided we wanted to have. And watch this. So now we have the house ready. And what happens? COVID happens. And you know what? Mom moves in with us. Now, you know, COVID, we've been in with COVID 8-9 months now. And then what happens? Mom gets sick, but we're here. God knows. You just got to trust him. I didn't know. Mom had never been sick since I've been married to my wife. Matter of fact, next week, we got the next, y'all. We'll be 18 years married. Woo-hoo. But I've known my wife, or we've been in a relationship 20 years. Married for 18, coming to like next week, right? I did not know mom was going to get sick like this. But God knew. So what did he do? He positioned us so that does it hurt still? Yes. Do we still have things we have to deal with? Yes. But we can deal with it and we can handle it. And I'm telling you, that's exactly what he's doing for you. So trust him. He's called you to the space to be productive. Now, you know, some people say, you shared your business, but I'm transparent. Y'all, and that's another story for another day. You know, it's a difference between transparency and accountability, but we'll talk about that. But I'm transparent. What you see is what you get. I don't have nothing to hide. God has been good to me. He's been very good to my family. And if he doesn't do anything else, then he's been more than enough, and I'm grateful for the space. God bless you all. I love you all. I hope that this has been a blessing to y'all. If this has been a blessing to y'all, hey, why don't you help the Safe House Church in our ministry here? It's offering time here. We take our offering here on the Cash App. That's Safe House Church, GSO. Again, that's Safe House Church, GSO. And on PayPal, it's paypal.me/ministry8. Everything that you send here goes directly to support the Safe House Church. Also, it's Pastor Appreciation Month. If you feel led to give something for your boy, I think it's just my Cash App. It's just $ my name, Peter Ely. $ Peter Ely. I'll do a better job about putting that on next week. You know, my folk didn't got on me about that. So if you let, you know, in this space, I'm telling you, this is a tremendous space to not only pay your tithes in because of what, you know, the word that God has given us today, but also to plant a seed in. I share with you all. I mean, I ain't gonna tell you, I've not had some financial struggles and things, but we have, but God has set it up. And I'm just grateful that he has done so. And now that I've gotten out of some things, I'm learning not to go back. Amen. And make better decisions. So I hope that this has been a blessing to you all. Love you all. God bless you all as we go forward on this day. Just want to give your name, give his name all the honor and praise. Let's pray, and then I'm going to get you all out of here. All right. All right. So let's pray. Oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done this morning. Lord, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the time that you've given us with your people. Lord, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for helping us be here in this space on today, Lord Jesus, for your wonderful, your kind, Lord Jesus. You love us, Lord Jesus. And we just praise your name, Lord Jesus. And we give your name all the honor, Lord, all the praise, Lord Jesus, for you're just so wonderful to us, Lord. And I thank you for being wonderful, Lord. And I thank you in advance for what you're doing and where you're taking us, Lord. Hold us and keep us throughout the whole year, day, month, and season to go. Let someone be blessed by what they heard on today, Lord Jesus, that they learn to trust you in a different way. And thank you, Lord. I love you. To all, God bless you all. Love you all. But know this, and know this one thing to be true, that we walk by faith, not by sight. See you on Tuesday, Wednesday afternoon, 7 o'clock. Be good. Be blessed. Wonderful is your name. All my life I never know you to fail. You remain the same. Wonderful is your name. All my life.